Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Well, welcome to another Tuesday live show. We're doing this one a little bit early today, and we have a few questions I want to get to. So we're just going to hop right into it. Here's our schedule for the day. And the first thing I want to talk about is just do a little plug for the one-day rescue classes that we're doing, because I think that it's a really cool idea, and I just want to – I plugged it a bit. There's an opportunity for me to plug something. We're trying as hard as we can to offer, like, amazing courses and training, and it is our safety and rescue clinics. And the idea is this is just a one-day clinic. So a lot of you are taking rescue classes that are, like, 2 days, 3 days long. It's a lot of information packed in a short amount of time. And sometimes you really just want to focus on something. And honestly, it might be smart to do, instead of like a three-day class every 3 years, do a one-day class every year. But pick the topic you feel like you need the most information about, right? If you're good at knots, spending half a day doing knots is kind of a waste of time. If you have three to ones dialed, spending 3 hours doing that is kind of a waste of your time. This is where you can like get the most effective education you can for both safety and rescue. And so you can, if you look at the dates and prices, you know, so we've picked topics like the first one, March 7th, is just mechanical advantage and throwbacks. We'll do 3-to-1, some other cool mechanical advantage, and we'll practice throwbacks. Pretty simple. It's a day. If that's an area you have weaknesses in, join us. The next one is entrapments and wrap pins, where we'll work on like body entrapments and also wrap pins, just like theory about them, what we can do. Yeah, we'll just focus on that. And then the last one will be swimming in harnesses. And, you know, if this is popular, if it's a thing, we'll do more of these with more topics. Like, this is just a first attempt to try this to see if it's something useful for the boating community. So I just want to share that with y'all. And let's get into the rest of the show, which is our questions. And then also a huge feat happened this week. Will Volpert and Skip Volpert ran the Illinois in a sweep boat. I want to share some footage from Greenwall because it was pretty cool that they got a boat down there. And so we want to finish by talking about that. So the first question is, did you see this surf and flip with a regular raft and an auto right attached? Being upside down like this seems worse than just flipping. Your thoughts? So I have the video here. Let me pull it up. And what the auto right is it's an attempt to make a useful form. Let me get this up here. Remove this, add this. Here we go. The auto right is something that Rocky Contos, I think he designed it. It's sort of like a creature craft in that if you flip, you don't have to flip. And the huge advantage of this system is you can attach it to regular rafts. You know, a massive disadvantage of creature crafts is that they're basically one or two person crafts. You're not going to rescue people. And a lot of the creature crafters are like, oh, we're going to go rescue people. Well, where are you going to put them? And you're not that maneuverable to get to them in the first place. So whereas this is just a regular raft. I mean, this is, look, they have, looks like a cooler and dry boxes. And, you know, you can take a raft, you can store gear in the raft and then throw the auto right on. Now, it's not going to be as effective as a creature craft for surviving things like this. But it's a decent attempt, in my opinion. It's a decent attempt at something close that mirrors it. This has the idea. And so the other thing with the creature craft is you're tied in, right? So if you flip upside down a few times, you're staying in. There's like a Velcro thing that seems stupid, but actually, like, I don't know, if you're running huge water, I want to stay in my boat so I can see why they do it. Here, this guy's not tied in. So if you go upside, I don't think he's tied. I hope he's not tied in, because this would be, I would be scared to be tied into this. But if he goes upside down here, he's probably going to fall out unless he's got a good hold of something. And right now, look, he's trying to get a throwback. That's kind of cool. He's like trying to get a throwback to send ashore, maybe, because he could be here for a while. In my opinion, having open rope right there is kind of terrifying, because if it does flip right now, you have a lot of rope around you. You're swimming in this big water river, potentially tangling yourself in rope. So I don't like what he's doing with that rope, honestly. I think he's trying to think about throwing a throwback to shore, but the odds are not high. I think you just ride this one out. Or you just swim. Just jump out. I mean, there we go. There are flips. And it works. I mean, a normal boat would have flipped there. So it did its job. He's not upside down. He's still in the boat. That's exactly what it's for, is like not flipping there, which could be a problem on really continuous rivers. Flipping, recovering the flip could be a problem. Like we talked about Heidi's flip issue. Oh, here, this is something exciting is about to happen. Let me pause this. We talked about Heidi's flip on the ALSEC last show. I think that was last show. And, you know, some places, if you flip, it's just really hard to recover the flip. This auto right will hopefully keep you from flipping and make it much faster to the recovery. So although it looks kind of dorky and is like super nerdy, technically, I think there's examples. Like I wouldn't use this on the Rogue, for example, because the wind's going to kill you. And it's just a lot of stuff. But if you're running a big water, continuous river where flipping is a hazard, and this can mediate that, it's pretty amazing he stayed in the boat, honestly, through all this. Like he's going up completely upside. Look at this. It's doing his job. It's easy to be a hater about, see, boats eventually come out. It's upside down. I don't know where he is. Maybe he's holding on for dear life. But whatever is happening here is probably better than being completely upside down. I don't know what the plan is to ride it right back up. But the gear is out of the water. It's probably easier to deal with. So I don't know. I think that the auto right did his job here. And kudos to Rocky for being, you know, I could see having this idea, like, hey, let's create this thing, this roll cage. It's like kind of like a creature craft, but kind of not. I could see us sitting around the campfire talking about it. He did it, and it seems to have done his job, although it's not right back up right now. I'd much rather have the end result of this upside down thing than the boat fully flipped. Because this, you just get, that's much easier to flip back over, I'm guessing. And all of your gear is not upside down in the water right now. So those are my opinions. If you have different opinions, I'd love to hear them. And Heidi saying, I can't report I wasn't the one that flipped on the outside. Yeah. But you were on a trip with a flip. And that auto right, I bet you would have loved that auto right. That would have been like really helpful in that example instead of, you know. And now that this thing, you know, I think normally the boat would be on its side. I think this thing just got beat pretty hard in that hole. Where I think normally the auto right would work a little bit better. So if it was something on the ALSEC where it's just, it flipped over, it just stopped it, it would have probably not flipped. It would have been very nice. And of course, the rest of the ALSEC, you wouldn't want it because of all the wind. You know, you don't want to deal with that whole thing in your way. But I think, I'm guessing he puts this away. He like just pulls it out for the big stuff. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, missing the hole is, that's probably, can you miss this hole? I've never done Zambezi. It looks like, yeah, you could get, I mean, you definitely want to miss that hole. I would just, if it was me, I would have taken a chance going to the other hole instead of this one. But eventually you're going to go into holes. But that's a great point, Z Leclerc. Okay, let's keep moving on questions. Good question. All right, those are my thoughts. Kind of cool. I think being upside down like that was better than flipping. That's my take, but. If anybody has a different opinion, share it in the comments. Topic, clam seal temporary boat patch. I just learned about the existence of a product called the Barton clam seal. It is essentially a temporary patch for your boat made of two pieces of plastic pulled together by a nut and bolt connecting them. You have to make the bigger hole bigger to get one piece through. I know what this is. Okay, I don't see the link, but let's just Google this. What's it called? Barton clam seal. Let's get out of here. Let's go to Barton clam seal. Here we go. Yeah, this thing's, I mean, I've used things like this. So what this is, actually, I think I have an old version of this. Oh man, ads. Right here.
So I have the microphone now. Anyway, this thing then goes down like this. I'm really sorry for the podcasters. That was a lot of bad audio. Let me know if I have audio now again. Okay, cool. And give me a, if it goes out again, let me know. And then this thing clamps it down against the raft. And so this thing, if you clamp it hard enough, provides a seal. If this metal thing sticks out, so if you hit a rock wall or something, that's super annoying. But it's a pretty cool idea. And that's what this thing basically is. Let me get back to here. It's basically one of those. It's got two sides. Let me see if you take it off. And it looks like that when it's on. And the one piece is put inside the thing. Now, the question I already know you're all going to have is you're going to say, well, you know, what if it's a what if the hole's not this big? That's the issue. Like, you have this with you, and then the hole's too small. That's why I have a bunch of these. And I haven't used these for years, but there's a small little bit. I'm making myself big. You know, there's this small little baby one. I used to carry these. There's this other decent sized one. You know, there's this. They're all around the same size. I have maybe they have some more sizes, but you have to carry a bunch. There, here's a medium sized one. Or if you don't have the right size, you just make the hole bigger, which is not the worst idea ever. But you carry a bunch of these, and then when it happens, you just shove these in. They only work the holes, you know, maybe like 80% of that size. Like the hole I did on Illinois last year is not going to work. So it's not a bad idea to carry. And Heidi just asked a question, which is exactly where I was going. I think Terry's better. These things are cool. They're certainly interesting. Now that Terry exists, it sort of makes these sort of not as useful. Would it hurt to carry other? It would carry both. I don't know. This thing here, I'm tempted to buy one. Let me go back here. For $26 as another option to Terraid. I've just had the best luck with Terraid. I've had such great success with Terraid. The downside of these things is that thing is sticking out from the boat. You don't usually, like, this photo is showing it from the top down, like somebody punched it at the top. You really punch it on the side. And so most holes are on the side of the boat because you hit a rock. Well, then if you hit a rock with this thing, it can break again. So I think I'm going to stick. There's a reason why these are now in my shelf right there instead of in any repair kits, because I think they're sort of outdated, but not the worst idea ever. So, yeah. Whoever shared that, thanks for sharing. It's pretty cool. Okay, where are we at now? Back to questions. Here we go. Remove this, add that. And thoughts. I think it's a great option for winter trips, so it's hard to get glue to cure at the very least. I think that's what Terraid's for. And I talked to somebody who used Terraid last year. I did it on the live show. I think I did a review of their video. And they couldn't get Terraid to stick because it was cold and wet. And so I think that's a good point for winter trips when it's cold and wet and you just can't dry the fabric out or it's raining. It's not a terrible idea to have one of these. I'm gonna buy one actually and put it in my winter kit. That's a really good idea because it can be, if it's really cold too, it can probably get tough to get Terry to stick. I never tried Terry in the super cold, so I'm not 100% sure it works. All right, next question. Great job with the show. Keep it up. Thanks. I don't recall you doing a Gear Garage video about groovers. Can you answer questions like which trap do you like best and do you have any tips about cleaning them out? I've done a handful of things about groovers. I'm sure if I Googled Gear Garage groover episode, something would, I mean, come on. It's got to come up. This is, let me go back here. Let's Google Gear Garage. Groover episode and see what happens. Gear, because I definitely have a favorite. Gear Garage Groover episode. I'm sure there's something here. Setting up the groover, episode 40. Talking about the groover with Emily, episode 81. Live show. It looks like we talked about it December 23rd. Like, yeah, you can just, even Orz has something. So yeah, I mean, I've done some episodes on it. So you can watch those, and Google is a great tool for finding that stuff out, if you are curious. But going back to your question, the Selway fabrication one is I think the best. And I used the Johnny Partner. I've used a lot of them because I've worked for a lot of different rafting companies, a lot of different groovers. I've used them all. I've cleaned them all a ton. This isn't just like a small data set here. This is a massive data set. I owned probably 20 of the Johnny Partner Groovers, and I used them for 15 plus years. And I had the problems with the lids getting stuck and some of them cracking. And they're great groovers, the Johnny Partner ones, the Partner Steel, but over time they sort of start being problematic. And I think they switched from steel to aluminum. They did some switch partway, which made the lids stick even more for a long time. And which I was there, I had to open those lids for years. You know, we used that tool, this thing, sorry if you can't hear me. I'll be back in a second. We use this thing. So this thing right here, for those of you that don't know, this little tool, it was designed by Sawyer. This one's kind of bent. This is what Sawyer uses to put the quick set. When you put the blade in the ore on like the MXGs, this is the tool they prefer to use because the screwdriver will start breaking the plastic. That's what Sawyer makes these. That's what it's for. I use these for years, one in each hand, to get into that groover and pop open the lid. And I know guides who thought the only use for these was to open groovers. We did this so much back in the day that they thought these were designed specifically to open groovers. They went to go put a blade on the ore. I'm like, where's that tool we used to open the groovers? They were like, oh, that'll work. I'm like, that's what it's designed for, is to put the blades on the ores. That's how much we had to use these things to get open those lids. So based on that, I'm not a fan of the Johnny Partners anymore. They're fine. They're adequate. But why? There's no reason to not, if you can afford it. How do we get to here? To get let's see, move this, add this, to not get a sub. I mean, they're a little more expensive. I own probably 20 of these. Some of them are pretty old, and they work great. It's just one contraption. There's no separate seat you pull off and put on. You just pull off that lid, pull off the lid inside, put the lid back on. The seat's involved. It's taller. It's stable. It's got great capacity. I cleaned it both at an RV dump, and it has a great set, like has a thing to put an RV hose into, and it works great in groover machines. You know, has this, you get this little tank that goes, this tank right here goes inside of this, right? So you pull that lid off, open the tank up. It seems like the tank, once they shut, those four little closures won't work, but I've never had a problem. I've had tons of them. There's a gasket in there you replace once in a while. It's not a big deal. And you can see, I make this big. Oh, yeah. That's as big as we go. There's a white thing on top. Somebody asked about cleaning it. This white thing on top, you pull that off and put a hose in there. If you clean it in an RV dump, it fills it with water, which makes it more slushy. You want slushy. It's easier to clean groovers that are slushy. When people say don't pee in the groover, that's kind of stupid. You want pee in the groover. You know, the reason that people say don't pee in the groover is based on Grand Canyon trips. In Grand Canyon trips, you have limited capacity. And so every bit of pee takes up your groover capacity. On like a 3 or 4 or 5 day trip, just you usually have capacity. And you want pee in there, it makes it slush around more. But when you go to, and I actually add water. If there's not enough pee in there, I add water sometimes because it makes it easier to clean later when it's moving around. If it's just a bunch of unliquefied poop, it sticks to the thing. It's harder to clean. But anyway, this thing right here, especially if it sits for 4, 5, 6 days, this white thing comes off. You put a hose in there. You put more water in, make it really sloshy. And then you pull off this black thing, put an RV hose in there, and it goes glug, 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 glug out the outside. Not the hard to clean, pretty sweet groover. I mean, I'm like 5 times thumbs up. And actually, I think on the homepage, yeah, my video is even on, like setting up the groover is even on their homepage because I'm their business partner. Not their business partner for real because I don't own any of the business. I just really like them and I promote them. And so they put me on the homepage, which is super nice of them to do. Maybe that's not a link to our website though. But anyway, there's a video on their homepage. So I'm like, I genuinely believe these are the best groovers that exist by a long shot. Now you can make your case for some other groover, but I don't think you'll win. And I bought this one in the middle, it shows here, is designed for duckies. I have one of these. It's designed to like go in the back or front of a ducky. They work pretty well. I've used this one a few times for some ducky trips and they actually work pretty well. But I don't think they sell many of those. The regular one is amazing. All right, Heidi, that's comments. Cellwave fabrications can sometimes create custom color combos. Yeah, I mean they it's all one mold. I've asked him about this before, but he can swap lids and bottoms with other ones. He can't make, he has to make one green one and one blue one, and then he can move things back and forth. So you can have a green lid and a blue bottom, and a bottom blue and a green lid. My favorite color is, I have a bunch of green ones, but my favorite color is pink because it makes the Groover more just accessible. Like, I think people, I don't know, I think pink makes it more fun, less nerve-wracking. The downside of pink is the color fades much faster. So the green ones I have, the color hasn't faded at all. But the pink ones, I have to replace them every like 10 or 15 years. Where the green ones, I've never had to replace. They don't get old. They just get faded and look terrible. And I'm an advocate for things looking professional and nice. And so the pink ones I like the most, but also they get to replace them, which is an expense. Z Leclerc. Some things I've learned. SCAD machines are nasty. Yeah, I mean, they can be gross. If you need a max capacity, no P or TP makes a massive difference. Yeah, I mean, well, TP, you can burn the TP. Yeah, if capacity is an issue, you have to watch the P. But my take, especially commercially guiding, just bring an extra Groover. Just bring more capacity. We have the Groovers. They're not that, they don't take up much space. And people like peeing in the Groover. Asking people to pee in the river all the time is actually maybe dangerous. And so giving them options to pee. Now, when I tell people to pee in the Groover, I'm not like, don't go pee in the Groover every time. But if you're at the Groover already pooping, yeah, pee in there. You're fine. Or if it's at night and you don't want to walk down the river, yeah, go walk to the Groover. It's super dangerous to get up 3 a.m. by yourself and walk down to the river and pee. So just walk to a Groover and pee in the Groover. Like, don't risk yourself. I've heard stories of people falling in the river at night because they're trying to pee in the river. And so I have a friend who, on a trip I know of, a friend of a friend went down to pee in the river. Her hat came off, fell in the river. She went to grab it, and then she fell in the river at night by herself, swam down a rapid, lived, swam to the other side to save herself at night by herself, walked back up the river and swam back to camp. And I didn't hear about this until a year later after the trip. Anyway, I think it's dangerous to do that, to pee at night. So having capacity to pee. Anyway, his comment. If you need max capacity, no pee. Yeah, at the takeout, top off your Groover with water before you drive off. Yeah, super smart. Like, if you're at takeout and you're not going to clean your Groover for a while, if you put some water in there and it swishes around while you're driving, it makes it way easier to clean later. If it's just a bunch of poop and it just sits there and gets hot, it's going to make that thing hard to clean. You're going to have to get, like, I used to use these long, we use scat machines almost entirely now. And we rarely clean them in RV dumps. I guess on the Illinois we do sometimes. In the Oahu we do. But there's these long, we used to use a stick and just like push around with the stick to get the poop pieces off. But you can also get these long handle brushes that work really well. Anyway, enough about Groovers. So back to the question, which type do you like the best? The Cellwave, any tips for cleaning them out? Yeah, water, pee. Just have them swishing around. They should, if you put it, like on the Tuolumne, when you used to use a Johnny Partner or Groovers, at every camp, I'd put like half a bucket of water in there, and it would just swish around, and then it'd be heavy, but you know, we cleaned it by hand every trip, so it made them really easy to clean. Okay, those are the end of the questions. If you have questions, throw them in the comments. And I want to now share this video of Will. Let me share the screen. Going through Greenwall. And just talking about it, because it's a pretty big achievement. And let's see, there it is. And let's see if I can make this big. It's always tricky. There we go. You know, Sweepo drivers forever. I've done this before. I've talked about what else could you do in a Sweepo? What would be the big accomplishments? And the Illinois is like probably almost the hardest thing you can do in a Sweepo to have some success. And you know, it's just a matter of who's going to take the time to get a sweep boat to put in and do this. And I bet once the sweep boat's there, it is super, because most sweep boats live in Idaho. So you have to get it from Idaho to Oregon and then get it to the Illinois River when the flow is right. And you don't want to go when it's too low, because it would be tough. if it's, you know, little green wall would be a problem and submarine hole would be a problem. So you want, I've always thought 2000 CFS will win at 2500. And I talked to him today about it a little bit. He said they won a 2000 as well, but had what they had. So this is Greenwall on the Illinois River. There's a, he put up a video of the whole thing, but this is him. I mean, just Greenwall. This is the most impressive part, I'm guessing. And I watched this yesterday. He definitely decided to take like the sneak line on the left. I guess, yeah, I mean, the thing about sweep boats is if you hit a hole, the goal of sweep boat is not to let it get sideways. Once it's sideways, that boat's, this one's 20 feet long, but sometimes they're longer. And the sweep's another 10, the boat's 30 feet wide. You have to keep pointing straight down. You can't get sideways. And if you hit a hole, it can turn you really fast. And then you're sideways. And usually when that happens, it pulls the sweep arms out of your hand. And that and getting them back is difficult. That's why Skip is on the boat with him. You want to have a person with you on a run like this because if you look at a sweep arm, you need an assistant to get that back to you. You're not going to get them both back if you let go both of them. Okay, sorry, I'm going to keep going ahead. So he's going pretty extreme left here, which is a nice technical line. Goes right over that rock. That's what sweep boats can do, right over that rock. This is typical scrubbing. Gosh. That's a technical line down there. And I think that the idea was he was going to eddy out here. Looks like that was Nicole is going to clip on. Not sure what the plan was. But it looks like he's going to keep going. And the beauty of these sweep boats, I don't know if I'd want to cheat as much as Will is, but this is super smart. And they handle these technical lines really well. I don't think I would have thought to take that left line. And he's just sort of scrubbing down the left side. Super smart. This is what they're really good at. Just stay left. And these left lines are really technical. It's pretty sweet right through there. And there's some weird rocks down here. You could get in trouble. And that's a typical move right there. What he just did, you know, when you go through like a technical drop on a sweep, you want to get those sweep blades down. So you get down low, you get those sweep blades because they can catch water really easy through here. So his, what he wants to do, like this is super great sweep boat drive. Just get low, hold those sweeps down. And then when you're comfortable, get back up and adjust. When I first watched this video, I know that where he's headed right now. I've seen cat boats get stuck here. I've seen a lot of problems on this left side. I thought he was in a lot of trouble, but he does a good job of bringing his bow over and making it through that channel. Isn't that amazing what these things can do? Now he just has to deal with this big water in the hole at the bottom. And a goal would be, a big goal is not slamming into this wall, right? Like by him being left-ish, left a lot of the time, it gets him left now. Slamming that wall would be a problem. And then just holding the sweeps down. And it's a pretty clean line. Not sure what that throwback was going to do. I would rather have, you have two capoats down there. Sorry, I'm going to go on a separate tangent. You have two capoats down there. I'd rather have people in the capoats in the Yeti ready to rescue than it looks like just one dude with a throwback. All I see, hold on, for safety down here, by the way. You have two capoats down below, right? You have a sweep boat coming through with two people on it. If this boat gets flipped, trashed, you have two swimmers, fairly high water, right? Sorry, I'm going to rant about this now that I think about it. Will's out here being a hero, and you got dude with a throwback instead of dude in a capo. If they swim, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Sorry to go on a rant about that, but I'm a big fan of downstream safety. Anyway, that was cool. Congratulations, Will. That was really impressive line. It's a big feat. I've been a part of many conversations where we're all like, let's run a sweep boat down the Illinois someday. And like I would love to. It's still on my to-do list, but getting ours from Idaho to Vance Pass, the right flows is tough. I don't know anything about sweep boats. Why are they better at technical lines than sliding over rocks? Or I guess they'd be like navigating a bus. They're really good at navigating. They sit higher, right? And the center, it's a bucket boat floor. So you can pontoon rocks. The rock can be like sometimes this far out of the water, depends on how, this is a light sweep, literally there's a lot more gear, but you can go over rocks because it's so light. It's barely sitting in the water because it's so big. Where rafts, especially as you load them, they sit way low in the river and they get stuck on rocks. This thing can just like slide over rocks really easily. And then those sweep arms really allow you to move that boat way more than you can any other boat. And so you can go from being straight down the river to like 45 degrees in a pretty quick move. Whereas rowing, you have to do a couple of these that are unwieldy. And in technical water where there's a lot of rocks, like let's go back. Let's go back here. Yeah, right here. So if you're coming in here with an oar boat, wait, where are we? Yeah, so let's go down a little bit. If you're coming in, this is all good. Okay, so if you're going into these rocks where Will's about to go in an oar boat, you're going to have some problems. Like from here down, if you don't make it to the left of this rock, I've seen a lot of problems in here. Because you don't really have much use of your oars anymore, and you can't get into this channel of the oar boat at this point. It's tough. You would need to pull back a lot and like airplane turn off of this. Where you just get in a sweep boat, you just get that bow, use that sweep, get that bow past that rock, and it just slides through. Like the things used to move the boat, the front and the back. And so you can still be actively using them to make these maneuvers where when they're on your side, you're sometimes smashing into rocks. So those are two reasons they do pretty well on technical rivers. There's some downsides for sure, but there's definitely some upsides of using those. Good question. Really good question. And then the last question, I'm going to finish this episode up, is from Heidi. What is your preferred subway toilet additive at the start of the trip? I leave this here. This card here all the time because I forget what it's called and it lives on my desk here. It's RTB780 bacterial culture, non-chemical, non-toxic, April Blue bio-augmentation product. And so I just Google RB780 bacteria cultures and I buy it and it's blue. It just, you put it in the bottom, put a little bit of water, it activates it and it works great. So I'm a huge fan of this stuff. Right there. Man, I was lucky. I had that thing by my desk and I had these things by my desk today in the little cabinet. Talk about, and this thing and the Groover opener slash thing that we used to screw on Sawyer orbs. Very cool. Thanks. Yeah. I'm not running super down the Illinois would be a ton of fun. Like slightly terrifying. I bet you like right here, if I'm right, I'm happy. I remember watching them do this because this is, thought about this. I'm happy. I mean, above Greenwall, I always get my nerves a little bit. But like right here, I'm like, I bet you he's thinking, I can't believe I'm doing this. Here we go. I'm not sure if this is a good idea, but we're in it. It's one of those. So, I mean, except for like there, maybe the entrance, a little Greenwall, maybe submarine hole. There's probably some other rapid I'm not thinking of where I'm like, oh, geez, where are we going? But, man, I would love to have done that. That's pretty cool. We'll pull it off. So that's the end of this episode. Thank you all for watching. If you listen to the podcast of this and there was a bunch of audio mess ups, I'm really sorry. There's something weird going on with my microphone today. But, yeah, thank you all for watching and see you all hopefully maybe next week.